Censorship of the truth and the facts. The Ebionite Nazarenes were the only eyewitness to the teachings of Jesus. Yet, today the Ebionites are condemned as heretics by the church. Why? Because the teachings and dogma of the church became Romanized, and in the process, a number of important teachings were suppressed and even removed from the gospel texts which the modern Christian uses as the Word of God. And if the facts with respect to the massive corruptions are acknowledged, a reasonable believer should pose the question, why would God permit His Word to be corrupted? The answer is that the Scriptures are not themselves the Word of God, but rather a textbook that, when turned within your own mind as the key of knowledge, is a spiritual map that assists in that person's ability to connect with the one teacher within each person that Jesus commanded to seek out and learn from exclusively, see the one teacher. And while using scriptures and possessing pure scriptures is good, those people who understand the law of God and how it is fulfilled within you through wholeness of self, thereby fulfilling the natural law, do not need scriptures, a church, or a teacher to learn and be taught directly from the living Word within them. But therein lies the problem, as seen in the human reality, that once a person is locked into a belief adopted in an immature state of mind, the belief becomes a shackle that inhibits the person from crossing over the intellectual red line that leads to knowing and enlightenment. See the intellectual red line in the sand of human consciousness. And as the person begins to cross over that intellectual red line, and begins to not only recall the previous lives their soul has lived, but also enabling them to connect with their higher soul self and ultimately with the mind of God, aka Logos/Word/Son of God, only then can mental and spiritual progress and advancement be accomplished. Today, the website is the only modern eyewitness resource on the original gospel teachings by virtue of the fact that these articles associated with this website are based upon the recall of the soul of Alan Cronshaw, who lived as Jacob, who they call James, the brother of Yeshua, who they call Jesus, C&D. In order to continue to conceal the truth and the facts, these websites are censored by Google. The official position of the pre-Nicene Church, 325 AD, confirmed the teaching on the pre-existent soul that evolves to wholeness and perfection over the course of many lifetimes. See the pre-Nicene position of the Church on reincarnation. ChatGPT states of Alan Cronshaw and the Law of Octaves, Part 2. Alan Cronshaw is a writer and researcher who has published a number of works on esoteric and spiritual topics. In his writings, he has discussed a variety of concepts and philosophies, including the Nazarene Ebionite Law of Octaves. According to Cronshaw's writings, the Nazarene Ebionite Law of Octaves is a spiritual and philosophical concept that combines elements of music theory, physics, and mysticism. It is based on the idea that the universe and all of its manifestations, including human consciousness, follow a pattern of periodicity and vibration that can be understood through the metaphor of musical octaves. Cronshaw suggests that this law of octaves can be seen in various aspects of human life, such as the chakra system, the cycles of birth and death, and the evolution of human consciousness. He argues that by understanding and aligning ourselves with this pattern of periodicity, we can achieve greater harmony and spiritual growth. It is worth noting that Cronshaw's writings represent his own personal interpretation of these concepts and are not necessarily accepted or recognized by mainstream academic or religious institutions. Beware, the law of octaves is set forth by Pythagoras, Plato, Jesus, Valentinus, Giordano Bruno, and G.I. Gurdjieff is set forth in the Law of 3 and 7, has nothing in common with the false assumptions of English chemist the Enigma or Czech sum of the law. Only a very few people throughout the history of mankind could comprehend what is known as the law of octaves. Few people are even aware of its existence. Great minds such as Pythagoras, Plato, Jesus, Giordano Bruno, and to a lesser degree G.I. Gurdjieff, all pointed man's ignorance of the law of octaves as shackling him to lives of abject ignorance. Why? In our modern technological environment, the law of octaves can be thought of as a checksum that is an embedded block of code that is used to check the integrity of a data string or transmission that is necessary to evaluate the wholeness of the message. If the data string is incomplete, the embedded checksum code enables the data string to be rejected. In the case of the natural laws of God and creation, which are designed to evolve the mind and spirit of each individual soul, there is the equivalent of a checksum embedded in the natural laws that evaluates the impressions, thoughts, words and deeds of each person for wholeness that is necessary to spawn and bring about growth and development in the mind of the person. In the same way that junk food is not beneficial for the nourishment of the body, neither can imbalanced junk thoughts or erroneous beliefs and actions bring about the development and growth of the consciousness of the person. What has been traditionally called the Law of Three, the Law of Seven, both of which portray separate action intervals within the Law of Octaves, act as a type of checksum implanted into the laws of creation that functions as the osmosis testing system for what the Gospels portray as the. The term cell membrane is defined as a gatekeeper, guardian, or border guard that protects the organism. Allegorically, the checksum embedded in the natural laws is portrayed in the words in the Genesis account. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out from the Garden of Eden to cultivate the ground from which he was taken. So he drove the man out, and at the east of the Garden of Eden he stationed the cherubim and the flaming sword which turned every direction to guard the way to the tree of life. The cherubim are an allegorical representative of the laws that perpetually test us for the necessary wholeness that the soul must achieve to be nourished by the life-giving fruit of the tree of life. These laws are not intended to inhibit us, but to test us and ensure our ultimate success in order to see if we are whole and complete. When rightly understood, what is portrayed as the Law of Octaves is the protective barrier of the narrow gate that acts as a gatekeeper that ensures developmental wholeness of the mind of man beyond that level of what can be portrayed as organic consciousness. And what this means is that embedded in the natural laws of God and creation is a checksum osmosis membrane that ensures wholeness and balance in the development of the mind beyond organic, natural, levels of consciousness. In the Gospels, the requirement is set forth in the words, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." Matt 7:13-14. In order to enter in at the narrow straight gate, one must prevail over and fulfill the laws that test us. In the foregoing, the word translated destruction in no manner represents what is actually being presented. Quoting the footnote on this word in the Schofield Reference Bible, which reads, "There is no thought in these various words of annihilation, but of something that is ruined and thus unsuitable or unable to fulfill its original purpose. Until one evolves to that condition of mental and spiritual maturity where they can prevail over the laws and manifest the center love sphere of the tree of life, the soul must continue to evolve over the course of however many lives is necessary to fulfill the law within themselves. And this is why the soul who lived as the historical man Jesus prevailed over and fulfilled the law of God and became the anointed, that is, his Ebionite Nazarene disciples stated that Jesus was justified by fulfilling the law. He was the Christ of God, since not one of the rest of mankind had observed the law completely. Had anyone else fulfilled the commandments of the law, he would have been the Christ. For they assert that our Lord himself was a man in like sense with all humanity." See Apollodus, Repha, Bob, Herr, 7:34. And it is the fulfillment of the laws that is the destiny of all of mankind, whereby each soul will prevail when they allegorically pick up their own cross and travail in the way that is, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Luke 6:46. And this is why Jesus warned those who would call themselves his followers and believers, "And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it." Matt 10:38-39. Wholeness and completion can only be achieved by those whose impressions and thoughts can pass through the narrow gate and prepare the mind to receive the anointing that can only be attained by those who take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. 2 Cor 10:5. The Law of Octaves as a checksum is the foundation of the analogy of Plato's cave. It is why Jesus could not speak openly about the mysteries of God when he stated, "And with many such parables he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. But without a parable he did not speak to them." And when they were alone, he explained all things to his disciples. Mark 4:33-34. And why it was stated only to a select few. Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without. All these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see, and not perceive, and hearing they may hear, and not understand. Mark 4:11-12. The organic mind of man and woman is earthly and undeveloped, which is why Paul portrayed the literal text and gospel message of the scriptures as milk intended for immature believers, who he portrayed as babes in Christ, that is, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. 1 Cor 3:1-3. Why can't organic natural man comprehend the spiritual meaning of the scriptures or the meaning of the gospel? Because of the testing points in the laws of nature and nature's God that will not permit a person to advance beyond the level of wholeness they are presently at. In the same way that, as a person attempts to climb the proverbial Jacob's ladder, see the law of Jacob's ladder and mental advancement, that the person cannot grab onto the next rung without letting go of the previous rung, mental and spiritual advancement must be accomplished one rung at a time. Therefore, the law of octaves can rightly be allegorically portrayed as the gravity of mind and even the power of Satan that keeps man's thinking earthbound and incapable of comprehending man's higher soul reality as portrayed in the adage to know thyself. It can also be observed and proven in the frequencies of color and music. See the twisting of law at the third interval. If you are intelligent enough, the foregoing link will baffle you. I understand the law of octaves because Jesus taught it to his original followers and disciples. See the spiritual law of the Gospels. Christians remain infantile in their thinking because the church threw this body of esoteric of knowledge away, even portraying it as heresy. See scriptures written by mystics who were hunted down as heretics. But this was predicted in the epistle of Peter to James, when Peter warned that if the esoteric body of knowledge is thrown away, that it will remain even for those who really seek the truth, always to wander in error. And this is exactly what happened. This world has often been portrayed as the valley of the shadow of death, but when the church suppressed the knowledge of the laws, they turned their backs on their true path of salvation. Further, because a great number of the Gentile converts did not understand the natural laws that were instituted in the Alpha of creation that exist within the body and mind of mankind, they rejected the original followers of Jesus and the core gospel teachings as heresy. See the Ebionite heresy. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus is quoted as stating, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly, I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments of the law and teaches men so, shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you, that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." Matt 5:17-20. Yet, the modern believer is of the position that they are exempt from the law because they allege that Jesus nailed the law to the cross. Therefore, it remains impossible for modern believers to fulfill the law that they have absolutely no understanding of. And with respect to the statement that, "Unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven," Jesus portrayed the scribes and Pharisees as blind guides who led the people in the wrong direction, which is the reason why Jesus portrayed them as the devil's spawn. See Christianity, the devil's spawn. And the fact that other people had themselves fulfilled the law and became whole is confirmed in the statement, "They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Mark 2:17. Before this verse can be understood, we must first understand what it means to be whole, which provokes the question, how is wholeness achieved? Contrary to the dogma of the modern church, if Jesus is the Savior who every person needs for salvation, then Jesus himself said the church was wrong. and those who are whole do not need him. And as a physician, Jesus did not come for the salvation of those who are whole, but only for those who are sick and in need of a physician. And in total opposition to church dogma, what this also means is that at the time the historical man Jesus walked the face of the earth, there existed people who he portrayed as whole and righteous who did not need Jesus the physician. Jesus openly states that his mission as a spiritual physician is not for them, because they achieved the necessary wholeness without him. That the Ebionites, like their Essene forerunners, understood the allegorical nature of the written words of the Torah is the reason why the early church writer Epiphanius wrote that the Ebionites do not accept Moses' Pentateuch in its entirety. Certain sayings they reject, stating Christ has revealed this to me and will blaspheme most of the legislation. Panarion 30, 18.79. For them to be accused of blaspheming most of the legislation means that they did not at all observe the Torah outwardly in accordance with the letter of the written word in the manner of the Jews, but rather, they understood the allegorical symbolism that was applicable to unlocking the inner door to the kingdom. Luke 17:20-21. For the mechanical intervals of the twisting of the law of octaves, go to the below subheading. The laws of nature and the law of octaves. Few people are even remotely aware of what can be portrayed as an anomaly in human perceptive vision and hearing that keeps them earthbound in their thinking and consciousness. An anomaly is defined as something that deviates from what is standard, normal, or expected. The great minds of man's past who could bridge the great divide between the physical and the spiritual and the manifestation of mind and consciousness all had one thing in common, that is, they all understood the enigma of the anomalies of the natural laws that creates barriers to the understanding of organic, natural, man. If you don't understand, it is because you have not yet achieved the necessary wholeness to bring together the paradoxical opposites that act as a biofeedback organism of the natural laws that is monitoring your every word, thought, desire, and deed to ensure balanced growth and development. What has been portrayed as the law of three, the law of seven, and what is personified as the law of octaves can be portrayed as the gravity of mind that ensures balanced growth and development of consciousness. What this means is that the natural laws create what can be personified as the paradoxical opposites of life, and these paradoxical opposites must be brought together in oneness in order to arrive at an enlightened higher understanding that can be portrayed as wholeness, which is why Jesus stated, "They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Mark 2:17. Which means that if you understand the enigmas of the natural laws, that you can achieve the necessary wholeness to bridge all divides and unknowns of creation. Quoting the Gospel of Thomas, his disciples said to him, "When will the kingdom come?" Jesus said, "It will not come by waiting for it. It will not be a matter of saying, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is.' Rather, the kingdom of the Father is spread out upon the earth, and men do not see it." Why don't you see it? Why don't you see God? Why are the scriptures composed in the enigma of allegorical symbols? Those few who understand the anomaly of the twisting of the law of octaves are the few who Jesus made reference to when he said, "They that are whole have no need of the physician. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." See the simple explanation. The bridge between religion and science, the conflict between religion and science can only be resolved when both begin to understand the natural laws of creation. In the vision of Nikola Tesla, it is through the understanding of the natural laws that the essence of religion can be restored, and the advancements of science will be supercharged. Why? Each person sees the world differently, and what each person sees is directly in accord with what can rightly be portrayed as their condition of mind. Only through the understanding of the natural laws can the scientist begin to tap into the higher source of the knowledge they seek. And only those who have bridged the gulf between the physical and its non-physical source can move beyond the barrier and limitations of organic human consciousness. Who is more enlightened? The scientist or the mystic? The problem that confronts mankind in the 21st century is that it is not one or the other, and the vision of both the modern scientist and the mystic each have their truths that support the greater enlightened vision of man's higher reality. Astrophysicist Robert Jastrow, who was the head of NASA's Goddard Institute for Space Studies, wrote in his book, God and the Astronomers, that if you understood the law, and especially the law of octaves, you could begin the process of self-discovery and entering the inner kingdom as Jesus taught his original followers. Those who walked and talked with him daily all witnessed to the fact that Jesus attained all that he had accomplished by fulfilling the law, that is, Jesus, by not translating the word into the English language. The word Christ is a verb that faux religion promotes as a noun. In the same way that anyone can be a runner so long as they run, the Greek word Christ means the anointing, and like running, anyone can achieve the anointing in accord with their ability to receive said anointing of light. And this is why Jesus taught his followers and disciples that the objective of his gospel teachings was to enable them to become of an anointed mind, just as he had himself accomplished when he fulfilled the law. The mystic learns that testing points exist that are built into the laws of creation that must be satisfied and bring about a necessary condition of consciousness in order to move beyond the barrier that these laws present to the seeker of higher truth and knowledge. In the same way that we can't jump and land on a distant planet because of the restrictions imposed upon us by the law of gravity, the same reality is true with respect to our inward journey. When our astronauts flew to the moon, while it is true that rocket propulsion was used to escape the Earth's gravity and limiting factor of its organic atmosphere, the astronauts then utilized the natural laws to escape the pull of the Earth and permit the spacecraft to be pulled to its destination. When flight engineers make reference to achieving this higher enlightened vision, understanding, and knowledge, is the direct result of what the Quakers portrayed as a person's condition, which condition is the result of the person's frequency and vibration of their body and mind, which frequency and vibration is controlled by the natural laws working upon the person's consciousness. Thus, the question from a spiritual perspective, do you need to possess the esoteric knowledge of the laws to fulfill the gospel teachings? In the Epistle of Peter to James, it is stated that if the body of esoteric knowledge taught by Jesus to his closest disciples is lost or thrown away, that there is a spiritual formula that opens the door to higher development of mind and spirit beyond what can be portrayed as organic human consciousness. And without understanding the formula, no amount of schooling by academia, reading of scripture, meditation, or the study of religious teachings will develop the mind beyond the organic limitations of man's physical mind. Quoting from the mental barrier, in the same way that the Atlantic Ocean acts as a barrier between Europe and the Americas, there exists a natural mental barrier between the person you are in this world and your own higher mind or soul self, and this barrier of inner mind has been created by the natural laws of consciousness. See the application of the law of octaves and the Trinity. In the time of Columbus, a ship was required to cross over the barrier of the ocean, while in our modern day the airship or airplane is the chosen vehicle to circumvent the natural barrier of the ocean. When the cosmology of mind is understood with respect to the natural barrier that separates the level of consciousness within each of us, a type of mental ship must be developed and employed for a seeker of truth and knowledge to succeed in crossing over the natural barrier that separates the person we are in this world from our true self. Traditionally, we have portrayed these few who have overcome the natural barrier of mind as mystics, and it is the mystic who understands that if the latent areas of mind are developed, this enables the person to circumvent the barrier between man's outer physical consciousness and the source of his mind and being within him on the other side of the natural barrier of mind and consciousness. The formula for transcending the barrier that separates the person you are in this world and your inner true self is the understanding of the law of octaves, and the consciousness requires energy. In the parable of the two sons, the prodigal son is portrayed as being lost and under the control of the powers of this world, because the son squandered away his energy on the Encyclopedia Britannica rites of the word logos. The portrayal of Jesus as the logos or mind of God totally defeated the purpose of the gospel teachings. What the historical man Jesus accomplished with respect to entering into a covert union with the indwelling logos is the destiny of all of mankind. See covert marriage. Was Jesus God? That the majority of people totally alienate themselves from the indwelling logos is portrayed by Clement of Alexandria when he wrote, The soul or true self of mankind dwells in a 12-dimensional realm where the polarities and the consciousness of the pre-existent soul can be portrayed as self-contained. Because the energy and consciousness is self-contained with the four polarities of positive/male and negative/female with what is heavenly and earthly joined together, the soul is a being of light, see. But all growth and development is the result of the experience of the four polarities interacting. Which means that because the realm of souls is an environment where opposite polarities are self-contained and exist in oneness, the opposites cannot interact and evolve the light of the soul through experiential knowledge, and therefore no growth can be brought about in this higher 12-dimensional realm of souls. Mankind is an expression of the soul in this 3-dimensional sub-realm where the polarities of male and female exist in separation, wherein this sub-realm is portrayed in the Gospels as the far country in the parable of the prodigal son, which is parallel to the analogy of Plato's cave. See. In this sub-realm, bioenergy or vital life force enters into the person's body/mind through their inner connection to their higher soul self. See. The soul self is a being of white light of pure intellectual consciousness, see. In order for energy to exist and flow, there must be a positive/male pole that received the flow of energy from the source and negative/female pole that reflects the energy and balance point that utilizes the energy and manifests consciousness. When understood, this flow of energy that manifests in the balance point is the basis of the Trinity that is portrayed as the divine pattern that is replicated into all of creation. In the Greek language, this core intelligence was known as the Logos or mind/word of God that is portrayed as the Son of God being the offspring of the male/father and female/mother divine polarities. In order to clarify the above, let me present a quotation from each soul came into being as the consciousness of the divine pattern which is replicated into all of creation, evolves through the interaction of opposites. And in the same way that our body forms through the interaction and joining of the male/sperm and the female/ovum that form an embryo, it is the interaction of the male and female within the embryo that forms the body. Physical birth is brought about when the fetus is able to exist outside of the mother's womb, at which time the fetus emerges into this sub-realm that is the mental womb of Mother Earth and what can be portrayed as a cosmic ovum/woman or sperm/man. In the same way that it is the merger of sperm and ovum that is necessary to bring forth the life of the fetus and child, it is the interaction and merger of the mental sperm and mental ovum of mankind that is necessary to bring forth the transformative process of mental expansion and spiritual deepening. See the process of birth within the Tree of Life, BUT, where the development from fetus to our physical body can be portrayed as a cookie-cutter process. This would not be true with respect to the process of mental development. Why? Because the development of mind requires choice, free will, and the living out of the choices we have made in order to learn through our experiences. Therefore, there can be no cookie-cutter interaction with the natural laws that bring about the next stage of birth. While the laws of nature can provide a physical body for the soul to inhabit, the development of mind requires a very different and complex interaction of the natural laws in order to respond to our choices, exercise of free will, and the mindset and lifestyle we have chosen to live out. In the words of the Church Father Origen when he wrote, in the same way that consciousness is built upon the interaction of the opposite positive/male and negative/female polarities of mind polarities which are divided in this sub-realm in order to interact, grow and evolve through the experiences higher consciousness can only be achieved when the two polarities which are the manifestation of their gender consciousness are able to come together in oneness and wholeness on a higher plane. In order to manifest oneness, equal aspects must be joined together as in the pattern of the embryo, which means that there must be a means built into the natural laws to test the balance of the two opposites. This means of testing the integrity and balance across the spectrum of opposites that must be checked and monitored is called the law of octaves, which will not permit the bioenergy to return to its source unless wholeness is achieved. Therefore, the bioenergy of the thought or impression that lacks the necessary wholeness cannot bring about the development of higher mind and consciousness, but becomes lost into nature. Deists proclaim an understanding of the natural laws, yet the vast majority of people who claim to be deists remain clueless as to the effect of the twisting of the laws as manifest in the law of octaves, see twisting of the laws. And while few people possess any real understanding with respect to the causal factors, if anyone wants to research the intricate whys and hows of the twisting factors of the laws that keep mankind earth-bound in his thinking and life unless higher balance and wholeness is achieved, they can read at the laws of nature and the law of octaves, see below. While few people can grasp the causal factors of why the path of progression that forms an octave twists, of greater importance is to understand the do's and don'ts that affect and result of the twisting of the progression of the laws. If a person understands the effect of the twisting of the laws within their own consciousness, and they begin to address the problem in their mindset and thinking, they will then begin to experience the transformational process of mental expansion and spiritual deepening, which will then enable them to begin to understand what they previously could not. And from this perspective, it is therefore important to understand that every thought and impression that you have is carried into your mind upon the foundation of the bioenergy and vital life force that you generate, and is then transported upon the mental positive and negative polarities of energy and consciousness. In fact, this bioenergy is measured in EKG and EEG machines, and the twisting of the law of octaves tests each thought to evaluate whether the thought can nourish and evolve the mind, and whatever thought or impression fails to manifest the necessary wholeness to stimulate growth and development, the bioenergy is lost into nature. Therefore, what is important to understand is the reality that those thoughts that feed the growth of the mind beyond what can be portrayed as organic human animal consciousness are able to maintain the necessary wholeness to be drawn through the thoughts can be likened to a formula